Thank you, Rich Medlina. We now come to our high point as we come to God's word, and our first reading is from Psalm 6. There are some Bibles available at the back. In fact, Alan has got them. He's coming up the middle aisle. If you just want to put your hand up, if you're in need of a Bible. Psalm 6. For the director of music with stringed instruments, according to Sheminith, a psalm of David. Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, or discipline me in your wrath. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I am faint. Heal me, Lord, for my bones are in agony. My soul is in deep anguish. How long, Lord, how long? Turn, Lord, and deliver me. Save me because of your unfailing love. Among the dead, no one proclaims your name. Who praises you from the grave? I am worn out from my groaning. All night long I flood my bed with weeping and drench my couch with tears. My eyes grow weak with sorrow. They fail because of all my foes. Away from me, all you who do evil, for the Lord has heard my weeping. The Lord has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayer. All my enemies will be overwhelmed with shame and anguish. They will turn back and suddenly be put to shame. Our second reading is from the New Testament. It's from Hebrews, it's chapter 2. And we begin at verse 10. That is Hebrews chapter 2, beginning at verse 10. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters in the assembly. I will sing your praises. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again he says, here am I, and the children God has given me. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people, because he himself suffered when he was tempted. He is able to help those who are being tempted. Thank you, Murray.
Well, friends, good morning. My name is Murray. I'm one of the regular members here at Wente Anglican, and Happy New Year to everyone. Welcome to 2023. This is the time of year when we think positive thoughts. We're all looking forward to the fantastic things that 2023 is going to bring for us. And so we have some uplifting Bible verses today. My soul is in deep anguish. How long, Lord? How long? My eyes grow weak with sorrow. Clearly, there's more to the new year than just positive thoughts, and that's what we're going to be thinking about this morning as we look at Psalm 6. I've got the title for Psalm 6, Turn, Lord, Rescue Me. And I have a goal. This is where I want us all to be at the end of today, end of this morning. I want us to be praying like Psalm 6. Turn, cry out, wait. There's a key verse there. Verse 4 is really important. Turn, Lord, and deliver me. And you can tell I thought really hard about my title and just stole it from verse 4, but that's okay. The Bible is the best source of material. And as we get to this place, there are a few places I want us to go as we sort of get to our big goal. There's a new series that we're starting today, Honest to God, Praying the Psalms, and so we have a quick introduction for that. As we read Psalm 6, I want us to feel David's pain as he faces God's wrath, the storm. So you'll see the image of a storm up there over and over. Verse 10, I find a bit uncomfortable. So we want to explore a little bit about what's going on with the enemies. And of course, I want us to pray Psalm 6 for ourselves. And there will be homework. Just putting that out there now. If you remember one thing from today, remember verse 4. Remember verse 4. Okay, let's get into it. Honest to God, praying the Psalms. Through January, we're going to be reading some Psalms that remind us of our honest position before God. Psalms that encourage us to come to God on our knees in prayer, relying on God's faithfulness to us rather than our own abilities or our own goodness, whatever goodness we have inside us, or whatever position we might have in society. We want to rely on God. So by all means, look forward to 2023. I think it's going to be a fantastic year. There's great potential for gospel growth, both as individuals and as our whole church community. There'll be opportunities for telling, for growing, for serving. Let's do it all under God, humbly, acknowledging our weakness and bringing everything to God in prayer. It's enough of introduction. Let's start looking at Psalm 6. I've got a little bit of a map up there for you. There are four parts which we'll work through. Lament, appeal, lament, and vindicated. You can see there's some verses up there as well that's it's not too tricky, actually. I like it. The only thing is to notice is that vindicated, I've put a little bit separate. It is a bit different, so just watch out for that one. So let's get into it. The first lament, verses 1 to 3. Verse 1, Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your wrath. David has sinned. And he knows what that means from God. In his words, they're wrath and anger. Now, we don't actually know what the sin is, but we do know that sin provokes God's wrath and anger. And we do know the effect of that wrath on David. We read it in verses 2 and 3. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I am faint. Heal me, Lord, for my bones are in agony. My soul is in deep anguish. How long, Lord? How long? David is in physical and mental anguish. And you can tell because there's not just one, but there's two how longs. Because God is angry with him. This is the mother of all storms. I want us to feel what David feels, the soul-destroying terror of knowing that God's anger is approaching and bearing down, and that he deserves it. In the words of Hebrews The Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The Word of God exposes the dark parts of our heart that we would rather remain hidden. There's nowhere for David to hide from this storm. God knows his darkness. Have you felt like David? I know I have. That storm of God's wrath approaching. Maybe you're feeling like that today, feeling the crushing weight of God. Just that God knows the darkness that you keep so well hidden inside you. But God knows. If that is you, well, I want you to read the next verse, verse 4. Turn, Lord, and deliver me. Save me because of your unfailing love. See, this is the reason why David can go on. Your unfailing love. Even when this storm is bearing down on David, he cries out, save me, turn back to me, Lord. And he relies on God's promises to his people in the Old Testament. Now, there are many promises to which David might be thinking of. My favorite one is in Exodus 34. You can see it up there. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands of generations, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Now, you guys know that I like highlighting the important bits in yellow, so let me just do that. God promises unfailing, unending, unbreakable love for his chosen people. Unfailing love, even though that God knows the darkness in every one of us. This is how David can appeal to God. Turn back to me, Lord. Remember your love for me. Verse 4 is such an awesome prayer. Seriously, if you remember nothing else from today, remember that verse. If you feel like David, sorry, do you feel like David? Have you prayed verse 4? Well, if you call yourself a Christian believer, then you will have prayed this prayer at some point in your life. But we never stop praying it. Because this is how David gets through the storm. This is also how we get through the storm. God's unfailing love for us in Jesus. God turned his love away from Jesus for just 3 days so that he can turn his unfailing love onto us forever. Now, I find verse 5, quite curious. Among the dead, no one proclaims your name. Who praises you from the grave? See, David knows that his life is at stake here. Whatever's going on in verses 2 and 3 are life-threatening. But he's not actually worried about dying. His worry is that he can't praise God anymore from the grave. That's David's fear in death, that he is permanently cut off from God, that he cannot serve or praise him any longer in death. Well, Jesus stands right in the middle of God's wrath, that storm there, the same storm that has got David in anguish, his bones in agony. Jesus is cut off from God on the cross and dies, just as David fears. He dies so that all our fears of death can be brushed away, the power of death deleted, so that we can praise his name into all eternity. That unfailing love is pretty amazing. That unfailing love is Jesus. He is the embodiment of God's unfailing love for us. It's time to move on to the second lament, verses 6 and 7. I am worn out from my groaning. All night long I flood my bed with weeping and drench my couch with tears. My eyes grow weak with sorrow. They fail because of all my foes. In some ways, these verses, the second lament, is just very similar to the first one. It's more pain. But there are differences as well. I think this second lament is pain that is more drawn out, ongoing pain, rather than the giant thunderstorm that is approaching in verses 2 and 3. This is just a constant rain, day after day, month after month, year after year of miserable blah. It wears you down. The Grants this year went on a cruise. This was a very strange event for us, a holiday, remarkable event in many ways, and it was pretty good. But there were a few days when the seas were rough. Video here. Yeah, you can see, yeah, the boat's rocking around a bit. It's pretty windy. Yeah, that's not too bad, but you know, it was up and down. We got a little bit seasick. It was a bit hard to sleep when the boat's rocking around everywhere. Now, I did actually look up some videos of, you know, the worst cruise ship storms, and this is nothing. But it wears you down day after day. It wears you down, being hard to sleep, being seasick. It just wears you down. Do you feel like that? Do you feel like David in verses 6 and 7? I know I do. I'm sure many of us have things that do just wear us down, a chronic illness, some long-term burden or some sin that we just keep falling back into over and over, something that hurts for days and months and years and decades. Something that makes you feel worn out, brings you to tears each night, and saps your strength. Well, we need to wait. Because there's actually a gap in time between verses 7 and 8, as David waits for God's answer to his prayer. What if when you cry out, "How long, Lord?" the answer takes longer than you expected. Now, I think every single time it does. Anything more than instant gratification is too long as far as I'm concerned. What if you find yourself stuck out in that long rain for a long time? Well, keep praying. Keep crying out. God is listening. He will answer in his timing, and it will be better than what we asked for. Now we move on to the last bit of Psalm 6, vindicated, verses 8 to 10. And there is a huge change in tone in these verses. David goes from crying all night long to complete confidence. How does that happen? Well, pick up from halfway through verse 8. For the Lord has heard my weeping. The Lord has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayer. God hears, and God answers David's prayer. He is forgiven. The weight of the world is lifted off his shoulders. I'm just going to read these verses out again because they are awesome. And seriously, what else can I add to them? The Lord has heard my weeping. The Lord has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayer. How awesome. What wonderful words of comfort. But what's up with these enemies? We get them a little bit in verse 8, away from me, all you who do evil, and they feature more prominently in verse 10. All my enemies will be overwhelmed with shame and anguish. They will turn back and suddenly be put to shame. Now, look, we know from David's story elsewhere in the Bible that he has haters. He has enemies, people who are hating on him. Now, exactly how that is working out in Psalm 6, it's not clear. Maybe they're mocking him. They're just saying, oh, look, David's going through a hard time. Ha ha ha. Maybe they're accusing him. They know this sin that David has got himself caught up in, and they are pointing fingers. Your fault. Or maybe they're actually hurting him. Maybe they're responsible for the pain David's going through in verses 2 and 3. We don't actually know the details. We don't know what God's answer was to David's prayer. We don't know exactly what the enemies have or haven't done. But whatever the details are, God's wrath turns from David to the enemies. The storm is flipped. You can see in verse 10 where it says, all my enemies will be overwhelmed with shame and anguish. That's the same anguish David was going through in verse 3. David's anguish becomes the enemy's. Now, David is confident here, but he's not arrogant. It is God and not David who delivers shame and terror and judgment. And David doesn't blame or find fault in his enemies, but he is confident God will deliver justice. Now, most of us don't have enemies in the same way that David does, but we do have one capital E enemy, picking up in it from the Hebrews reading from before. So that by his death, David might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Jesus has defeated our capital E enemies on the cross. Death, the devil. Whatever they may try to do to us, whether they mock us, whether they accuse us, whether they even hurt us, Jesus has defeated them. Now, the rest of Psalm 6 reminds us that the world isn't all unicorns and rainbows. Bad things do still happen. But the capital E enemies, death and the devil, are defeated. I think we should learn something from David's response here. Be slow to blame, even when we're in pain and we want to lash out at something, even when someone clearly is at fault. See, David is more concerned about getting himself sorted out with God than about pointing fingers. If he points fingers anywhere, he points them back at himself. And once he's sorted out with God, well, he trusts that God will sort his enemies. So I suggest we should do the same. Repent and turn back to God, trusting his unfailing love for us in Jesus. And let him deliver the justice. He will. And he will do it infinity percent better than we can. Okay, well, it is New Year's Day, and I thought I would put a bit of a summary in here. We've gone through all of Psalm 6, but if you've nodded off for any reason, this is the point to tune back in. David has committed some sin. God's wrath is threatening him like a storm. He is in terror and pain, and he cries out to God for help, appealing to his promises. David's haters are hating on him. But God hears. God forgives because of his unfailing love for his people. And God's wrath is flipped from David to the enemies. So I want us to pray like Psalm 6. And I've got four pretty simple things that just sort of work through Psalm 6. Start in repentance. Turning to God, even when he owes us nothing. Voice our pain, knowing that Jesus has experienced the pain of the cross. Ask boldly, knowing God has unfailing love for his people. And wait expectantly, knowing that God will always do what is best. And Jesus is best. So if we need to pray like Psalm 6, I have the Psalm 6 prayer challenge for this week. There's three levels of difficulty. I know which one I'm going to be choosing, and it's definitely not the hard one. Easy. Pray Psalm 6 once this week. I think that's pretty easy. I think we can all do that once. So thumbs up for easy. If you want to go to the rocket level, medium, you can pray Psalm 6 each day. Or if you want to be, I was going to say a prayer warrior, but that's a ninja cat up there, so I'm going to say a prayer ninja. If you want to be a prayer ninja, you can pray Psalm 6 every day, all January, even when we keep adding more psalms each week. Pray Psalm 6. Pray like Psalm 6. Now, there is one last thing that I noticed about Psalm 6 when I stood back and looked at the whole psalm. It's a generic lament. There's nothing concrete about David's situation. It's like the dirt underneath that digger there. See, Psalm 6 is vivid, it is emotive, it is moving, but we don't know what event triggered it. And I don't know about you, but I find that incredibly frustrating. There's no context. There's so many unknowns. But that's exactly why Psalm 6 can apply in so many circumstances. All kinds of different stages of life, different things that are going on, Psalm 6 will help. And that is not unique. There's plenty of, there are lots of psalms that are like that. Turn, cry out, and wait. That works for us just as well as it worked for David. But if Psalm 6 is full of feeling, it has a missing plot. It has a blank storyline. So as you pray Psalm 6, I encourage you to think, how does my story fit in with Psalm 6? Now, this is where I have to give an example, so I'm going to put my story in here. And fair warning, my story is boring. But look, I'm comparing myself to David, so what do you expect? My story is, I'm always busy doing stuff. Now, anyone who's known me for more than 5 minutes will know that. I'm always busy. But because of that, I neglect important relationships. I'm tempted to treat people as just a means to an end. I might not feel like verses 2 and 3, but I do feel tired. Verse 6, where it says, I am worn out, really resonates with me. My story, it just feels like a long, relentless drizzle. I can't even really call it rain because it's not that bad. But God's wrath is still scary for me. So I cry out to God for rescue because of his unfailing love for me in Jesus. I can confidently say, verse 9, God hears me. God accepts me. God changes me by his Spirit. And so I turn from my busyness to God. And remember that the God of the universe found time in his busy schedule of, well, absolutely everything forever to listen to me. Let me finish up. Psalm 6 is about David turning to God, asking for rescue from his own sin. It's about God's unfailing love for his people. It's about Jesus weathering the storm of God's wrath so that we can praise him for all eternity. So turn, cry out, and wait. Start 2023 by praying Psalm 6. And let me finish with verse 4. Turn, Lord, and deliver me. Save me because of your unfailing love. Amen.